Thank you, Brother Jim. Appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning and to stand in front of you and hopefully serve. Good news is that I'm not a long-winded person. I could prove myself wrong today, of course, and go along, but my guess is that we'll be all right. I want to share some thoughts with you. Let me find my mouse here real quick. There we go. I want to share some thoughts. There's a scripture I'm gonna start with this morning, and I would say it's probably the chapter I'm gonna read out of Moroni, the seventh chapter, and you can go ahead and start turning there. It'll be, I would say, the foundation of my comments and my thoughts today. I've had a lot of thoughts, and I can tell you that this sermon, I pray that this is the Lord's will and that this is the Lord's direction. I got to tell you, I consider myself a very blessed person, and I'm very thankful for all the things that I have been given. I'm very thankful for the Lord's blessing and His watch, care, and protection. I know that I have a lot to be thankful for and a lot that has happened in my life that I know that I am blessed, and I would be remiss if I didn't stand here and proclaim that. Some of my thoughts today, I hope it stirs some thought in your heart and your mind. I'm the type of person that I tell people on my team, and I'll probably mention this later, but anybody that works for me on my team, I am adamant that if I say something that offends you, if I say something that you're disturbed by, that's okay. I'd encourage you to come talk to me. I tell anybody on my team, you come in my office, you shut the door, you slam your fist on the desk, that's great. But when we walk out, we're going to be aligned. And I feel like that, the theme of my sermon or the theme of the thoughts that I have today is around the light of Christ. And in our lives, whether it's here at church on Sunday morning, here at church on Sunday evening, or driving down the road, do we have that light of Christ in our life? Do we have that light of Christ? Do people see that in us? And I can tell you that there's times, and I've seen it in my own spiritual life, it's that the highs and the lows that we each experience in our spiritual lives. And I can tell you that over the last year and a half, I have struggled with some of those spiritual lows. I can tell you that I feel closer to God, I feel closer to Christ than I ever have in my life. But I can also tell you that, there's been many things that we have all struggled with. And so I want to share some thoughts and some comments and some ideas that I have. Turn with me to Moroni, the seventh chapter, and I'm going to start in the 20th verse. And I just want you to, I'm not going to give a lot of comments around this scripture. You're going to hold your thumb here or hold your finger here in this, because I'm going to come back to Moroni, the seventh chapter, a little bit later. And now I come to that faith of which I said I would speak. And I tell you the way whereby you may lay hold on every good thing. For behold, God knoweth all things, being from everlasting to everlasting. Behold, he sent angels to minister unto the children of men, to make manifest concerning the coming of Christ. And in Christ there should come every good thing. And God also declared unto the prophets by his own mouth that Christ should come. And behold, there were diverse ways that he did manifest things unto the children of men, which were good, and all things which are good cometh to Christ. Otherwise men were fallen, and there could no good thing come unto them. Wherefore, by the ministering of angels, and by every word which proceedeth forth out of the mouth of God, men began to exercise faith in Christ. And thus by faith they did lay hold upon every good thing, and thus it was until the coming of Christ. And after that he came, men also were saved by faith in his name, and by faith they became the sons of God. And assuredly, as Christ liveth, he spake these words unto our Father, saying, whatsoever thing ye shall ask in the Father in my name, which is good, in faith believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be done unto you. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, hath miracle ceased because that Christ hath ascended into heaven and hath sat down on the right hand of God to claim of the Father his rights of mercy which he hath upon the children of men. For he hath answered the ends of the law, and he claimeth all those that have faith in him. And they that have faith in him will cleave unto every good thing. Wherefore, he advocateth the cause of the children of men, and he dwelleth eternally in the heavens. And because that he hath done this, my beloved brethren, hath miracle ceased. Behold, I say unto you, nay, neither hath angels ceased to minister unto the children of men. For behold, they are subject unto him to minister according to the word of his command, showing themselves unto them of strong faith and a firm mind in every form of godliness. And the office of their ministry is to call men unto repentance, and to fulfill and to do the work of the covenants of the Father, which he hath made unto the children of men, to prepare the way among the children of men by declaring the word of Christ unto the chosen vessels of the Lord, that they may bear testimony of him. And by so doing, the Lord God prepareth the way that the residue of men may have faith in Christ, that the Holy Ghost may have place in their hearts according to the power thereof. And after this manner bringeth to pass the Father the covenants which he hath made unto the children of men. And Christ hath said, if you will have faith in me, ye shall have power to do whatsoever thing is expedient in me. And he hath said, repent, all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me, and be baptized in my name, and have faith in me, that ye may be saved. You know, I bring out those verses, and as I said in the very beginning, you know, I want to talk about the light of Christ. The light of Christ in us. And I can tell you, you know, Michelle and I sent both of the boys off to school. And Trenton, this is his third year of school. Braden, this is his first year. You know, as a dad, I think I was more emotional dropping Braden off than Michelle was. Now, we each deal with it in our own way, but you know, the thought I had, and as we were leaving school and dropped Braden off, you know, I had the thought, and you know, my son Braden is a kid that he challenges me a lot, in a lot of great ways, and spiritually he challenges me in discussions that we have, and I see him, you know, with that foundation, and I pray that foundation is in both of their lives. But I as we drove away, and I thought about my boys, I thought about where they're going and what they're doing. You know, the father in me loves the chaos and the emotion in the house. I love the time when their friends are over, and it's pretty regular that they have friends over and that the house is full. What I love more so is that seeing my boys grow and seeing them strengthening on their own and that building up, you know. But I have to recognize and I have to have faith. I have to have faith and understanding that our Lord, that our Heavenly Father is there watching over them. And in our own lives, you know, I have to have faith and believe that the Lord is watching over us. But more importantly, you know, I want to challenge us to think a little bit today of, as people see us, as we come across to other people, as we interact with people, you know, are they seeing the light of Christ in us? You know, would you agree that to have faith, we have to have that light of Christ? In that 23rd verse, it says, and all things which are good cometh of Christ. Otherwise, men were fallen, and there could no good thing come unto them. How many of you disagree with that scripture? I mean, I think it's pretty common. I think it's pretty simple. I think it's a very good understanding that we all have and we all understand. You know, our sister Debbie was standing up here this morning with the Sunday school class and talked about, you know, that faith that we have to have. And I think it's vital. That faith that we have to have is the beginning, is the foundation, is the core. I want you to think about this verse, Luke, the 11th chapter, the 33rd through 36th verse. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, the whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, is full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of the candle doth give thee light. You know, think about this example, and think about a time when you've been out in the woods at night, or you're out in a very, very dark place, and all of a sudden you see a light. You know, you see that example, and you can visually think about that light of Christ and that example that we have here. I've been thinking a lot about this lately, and I think about an example, and I hope our sister Dana won't mind that I share this. But our sister Liza stood and during the reunion, and she gave a testimony on Sunday morning. And she said that in her testimony, she used our sister Dana Taylor, and in her current physical condition of her body fighting against itself, to compare our current spiritual condition as a church today. She asked us how we could ever accomplish the Lord's work if we are constantly fighting against ourselves. She told how Dana has good days when her body is working together and she is able to get some things done. But on other days, no matter how good her plans are, it is impossible to get those things done because of this immune disorder that has her body fighting against itself. And Dana, I hope you're okay with me sharing that. But, you know, I think it's an awesome example, you know, in this testimony that our sister Liza shared that day. You know, this analogy has been on my mind a lot. And I think about this example, you know, I think about, you know, there's times that my wife and I, we agree, and there's times that we disagree. Right? In your marriage, in your lives, in people with, you know, around you that you love, are there times that you disagree? Absolutely. If it's your spouse and you disagree, if it's your children and you disagree, if it's your brothers and sisters and you disagree, how do we work on that? How do we go attack that? You know, is it that autoimmune, you know, is it that attack within us that we bear up and we say, no, I'm going to fight you. I disagree. You know, I thought about this phrase, and very simple phrase, right? Sticks and stones, right? How does that phrase go? Is there a kid in here that has ever heard that? Right? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Is that true? No, absolutely not. Right? There's times where I can be upset with my wife and I can go to bed a little disappointed or a little frustrated. Right? There's times with my kids I can be very disappointed. I can be frustrated. The difference is I have a little bit of leverage over my kids, right? Guys, I'm paying for college. I'm paying for you to live, right? But recognize, how do we deal with this? How do we deal when we have this anger, when we have this frustration? You know, I can tell you in my own life, I've struggled with it over the last couple years. Because in my own life, what I find is that, you know, I always thought that I was a person that I can deal with anything. You know, you can throw all kinds of things my way and I will absolutely deal with it. But what I have found is that there's things that has probably just rocked me to my core. I've thought about this verse, and I will tell you that I have struggled with this verse a lot. And Proverbs, the 27th chapter, the 17th verse. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. I may have, and I will admit up front, I may have completely misinterpreted when I have heard people reference this scripture. But the few times that probably have caught me off guard on this is the focus on that first few verses. In fact, if you go into Google, the official resource of everything, right? If you go into Google and you just search iron sharpeneth iron, and you start to look for pictures, the first few pictures that you find is this example of knives. You know, the sharp edge sharpeneth an edge. You know, it's this iron sharpeneth iron. And that picture in my mind, when I've heard people reference it over the last few years, or at least may have thought of it a little bit more in the last few years, is the mental picture in my mind is that iron sharpeneth iron, or that knife sharpeneth a knife. You know, that sharp edge, and that we've got to cut somebody, or that it's almost, in my mind, that mental picture has been completely wrong. To me, it is not a knife. To me, it is not that sharpening so that I can cut you or I can catch you or I can catch you off guard. You know, I was reading this article just the other day, and it says, a need for constant fellowship with one another. You know, to me, an iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. To me, that is, brothers and sisters, I need you and you need me. that we can work together, that we can come together as brothers and sisters. You know, we can disagree. Just like I said with my wife, I don't always agree with my wife, but I love my wife unconditionally. And if I have that light of Christ, if I am doing the Lord's will, if I am following after the teachings that Christ has taught me, then I love each and every one of you. This article went on and talked, and it says, if a knife is blunt, it still continues to be a knife, although it is less effective, less useful in service. Let us therefore be encouraged to spend more time together, exhorting, encouraging, praying, admonishing, sharing God's word, praying over God's word and the needs of the church, that we become sharper, more cutting in the ministry that the Lord has assigned to each of us. You know, I've thought about this a lot. You know, there has been times where we say things and we offend another. And my brothers and sisters, if I have ever offended you, I am sorry for that. And I would encourage you to come. I can tell you, I'm not the most observant person. I'm not the person that just naturally sees things and sometimes I can skip over a lot of things. I think about this, you know, and I found these pictures and I thought, you know, they really stood out to me in this. Is that our words can do so much. Our words can offend. You know, you think about this, words are one of the most powerful forces on earth. People, relationships, nations are built upon and brought down by words. You cannot watch the news today and not see, I'm not going to go political, right? But you cannot see what's going on in our political process and not see the damage that words can do. I mean, it's almost becoming a norm in our society that it's okay, that I can cut you down, that I can offend you by the words that I say, and that's my right. Well, maybe true. But is that showing the light of Christ in our life? You know, do I love my brothers and sisters more to just let it go sometimes? You know, there's times when I disagree with my wife or I disagree with what we're disagreeing on, right? And what happens? The adrenaline inside of us starts to pick up. And we try to outdo each other, or we go one more step, or we go one more step further. And what happens? Words are powerful because, you know, they can never be taken back. I can't take back what I say. I can remember a time, and I don't even remember exactly what it was. But this picture in the middle, you know, is what reminds me. And I remember there was a time, and you know, I can tell you that my son Braden was one that, man, he could just say the right thing to just get us on that edge. And I remember one time, you know, I lost it. And I was telling Braden everything that he needed to understand and the reason why. And I remember that face. Right? I remember that face. Does that mean that I'm not going to reprimand my kids? No. God expects us. We're told as parents that we are to raise up our children. But I can tell you that I got to think about that. I got to think about, you know, what I'm saying and how I'm saying things to you. I got to think about the words that we say and what it does. You know, I can tell you that I'm very thankful for the words of a few of our brothers that are here today. For as there's been times that I've been struggling, and probably the times that I've struggled the most, I'll get a phone call. I'll get a conversation. These brothers have set the example for me to recognize our job and our responsibility as brothers and sisters. Set aside our responsibility as ministry, but our responsibility as brothers and sisters. You know, there's so many times that in our spiritual lives, I think sometimes we try to hide that. Or when we come to church, we're focused on church. But when we walk out of here, where is our focus? Where is our eye? I want you to think about these pictures, and this falls on me. This is my weakness. This is one of my weaknesses. So in the top left corner, it's a line standing at an airport. Bottom right corner is traffic. So as you think about the top left picture, my wife has told me she does not like flying with me because For whatever reason, and I have no understanding why, I want to be the first one on the plane. Anybody else like that? And why do you want to be the first person on the plane? I'm going to carry my bags because I'm cheap. I'm not going to check them. I don't want to pay for it. I want to be able to get my bags in the overhead. What difference does it make? And there have been times, my wife has reprimanded me many times, you know, I'm going to get to the front of that line. I've gone and done my TSA pre-check so I can get in the front of the line, right? I'll build the points, airline miles, so I can get to that front of the line. That's crazy. In our own lives, you know, how many times in our own lives do we want to be the first one in line? It drives me crazy. If we do something at work and we're having a customer event, if I see an employee go get in line before our customers do, it just drives me crazy. But yet I go to the airport, and it's like that switch goes on, and I am ready to be the first one up there. Why? Bottom right corner is traffic. I drive a lot. I'm okay with that. It's great. I love it. But I catch myself, and I find myself, you know, with our company, for the longest time, I had my logo on the side of the truck. And I like that. I do that because I expect my employees to do that. Here lately, I've taken it off for a reason, but normally I have my logo on the side of the truck. And one day I was driving down the road, or actually I was home, and I got a text, and it said, it was from my cousin's wife. And she said, "Hey, good job of cutting me off earlier." And I drive down I-70, and they live out in Green Valley, and she was kind of teasing me a little bit back and forth, and actually it wasn't me, right? But I think about, you know, that example that I set, you know, is the light of Christ in me. Now, I am an aggressive driver. I drive fast. But to the point that it's causing danger, to the point that it's cutting somebody off, or to the point that somebody that's driving slow drives me crazy, right? Where is that light of Christ in me? You know, and I think about, you know, what it does for me and what this emotion brings up in me. You know, I can tell you that I've struggled with that. And I think about that example in our lives. You know, and it kind of goes back to that old Jewish teaching. It compares the tongue to an arrow. A condemned man is to be shot with an arrow, but he asks for the sword instead. The condemned man knows that once the executioner has unsheathed his sword, he could beg for mercy. The executioner might be persuaded to return the sword. But once the arrow has been shot, it cannot be returned. You know, you think about those words, you think about the things that we do in our daily lives, the interactions that we have with people that we love, people that we care for. I want you to turn to Luke, the 11th chapter. This verse, this set of verse have been on my mind. There's a podcast I listen to, and they reference this scripture, and it's something that just kind of stood out in my mind. And I'm going to tell you that my focus is not on the first part, but I want to read the first part. It's really towards the end of this reading that I want to focus. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." And he said unto them, "When ye pray, O our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in earth, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And he said unto them, "Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he from within shall answer to say, 'Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, he will give him a stone. Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? You know, I want you to think about this, and I want you to think about a very simple core belief that we have, and that is prayer. You know, I think about this verse, I think specifically within that 13th verse, you know, it's that how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And I want you to think about that, you know, and it's what this person talked about and this podcast that I was listening to was they were talking about bold prayer. They were talking about, you know, this bold prayer. Braden, we were up at Creighton and it was his first day. It was Saturday and Michelle and I were there and they had a session for the parents and the students and then they broke us apart and it was just for the parents and then a separate session for the students. You know, and Braden made a comment. You know, he went and they started off their deal that they had for the kids, and they started it off with prayer. And he said, you know, he said, Dad, he said that was a little different, right? And the point of and what he was saying is you know, in his educational life, it's different. Prayer is to start off within prayer is different, and recognize he's in a different school, and he said, you know, that was just different. I love hearing Braden pray. And there's other brothers that I love to hear pray because what I see is it's just a natural talk with God. What is the purpose of prayer? What is our reasoning for prayer? But that communication, that connection. And you know, the challenge that I think we have to take from this is that we have to pray bold. We have to seek the Lord. We have to ask. You know, it talks about that telling us of that prayer and that the effects of mighty prayer. How many of you have ever been whitewater rafting? How many of you really love whitewater rafting? Yeah, few of us, right? Now, how many of you love the idea of whitewater rafting and then when you get into it, or you get into that scary situation. You know, many years ago, it was Kyle Temple and Jason Christensen and a few others. We went on a whitewater rafting trip. And I remember, you know, I love adventure. I really, really do. I love adventure until I'm like hanging out there on the edge, right? And then I'm thinking, okay, is the rope tight? Right? I'm thinking, is this safe? Right? And I remember, you know, you go to whitewater rafting and I love the idea of whitewater rafting. And still today, I want to go take my boys whitewater rafting. But, you know, it's the adventure. And then all of a sudden, you know, it looks fun and it looks great. And you get out there and you get into rapids like this and there are real dangers. Right? They tell you, you know, if you're rafting, if you're going, you know, and they start to go through. In fact, I downloaded a couple things that they said. They go through the rules before you go out. First off, you have to sign a waiver saying that if you die, you won't sue them, right? And then you have to sign within this waiver and that you've read the rules. And the rules is, number one is stay in the boat. Okay, that's obvious, right? But what happens if we fall out the boat? Then they start to go through the rules. Don't panic. Okay. Think about that. Think about it. If I'm in the boat and I'm going down these rapids and yeah, this is fun and I'm looking at my friend and yeah, this is great. But if you're about ready to fall out of the boat and you fall out of the boat, then what happens? Right? You're told to point your feet, I think, downstream. You're told that somebody should come and get you, you know, and don't try to get in the boat your own. They're going to try to pull you out. And I think about this verse and I go back to the verses that I read earlier where it talks about praying bold. In my mind, praying bold. And so many times in my life, I know that I can pray bold. I can pray to the Lord that he will give me that direction and seek his direction. But then what I find is my own weakness within me is that I want to be in control. I want to steer the boat. You know, I used to not like to fly. I don't know why. Right? But it's that thought in my mind that I'm not in control or that the plane's going to go down. In our lives, you know, as we're going down these rapids, as we're going through our lives, do we truly turn it over to the Lord? You know, I fall in the water and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I want to be in control. Things are going on, the rapids are going crazy in my life around me, and I want to be in control. I can go to work every day and I can absolutely be in control. There are things that are out of my control, but I can go and put things in place that they can start to come to control, or what I think is control. In our spiritual lives, so many times, you know, these things are coming, these rapids are coming. As you think about, you know, Karen, as you said, you like to whitewater raft. Think about, you know, is the stream just moving evenly down one direction? No, absolutely not. It's coming, it's churning, it's moving, it's stirring. So many times in our lives, you know, I think that I'm praying, but I feel that I'm losing control. Luke, the 9th chapter, the 57th verse says, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." My brothers and sisters, if you've been baptized, if you have committed your life to Christ, have you said this in one way or another? Absolutely. We have said, you know, that as we went, a man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. I personally have said, Lord, I will follow thee. But man, those rapids start coming. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand on the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You know, this verse up there in 58 when it says, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. You know, I've struggled with that verse, and I've tried to think through that verse. I've tried to study that verse and understand, you know, within Christ's teachings, what is he telling us there? Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. You know, if I am wrong in my comments here, I encourage you, please come tell me. I want to learn. But I can tell you that I interpret this as foxes have a place on earth, right? Foxes have holes. They have places where they can go. And birds of the air, they have nests. But the Son of Man, what do we have? The Son of Man, sure, we build houses. We control things that are happening with on this earth. But where does everything that we have come from? It comes from Christ. You know, it says, the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. You know, that control that I've got to give up, that control that I struggle with, right? Christ tells us then in the next verse, follow me. You know, so many times I see, and I can tell you that growing up in my life, you know, I hid that candlestick. I didn't want people to see that, you know, to me growing up, it wasn't cool. Right, I was struggling with those things in my own life, and I look at and I see kids today, and you know the recent camp that was, you know, this was it was a phenomenal camp. It was an awesome experience, and we saw kids that are engaged, that are tied in, that are committed. You know, asking questions after camp many times around our house, or I had an opportunity to take some kids somewhere, and the conversation that it went into. Brothers and sisters, this is awesome. You know, I can't look up and be afraid for what is to come. Are we in perilous times? Yeah. Am I supposed to be afraid? Absolutely not. And you know, I'm kind of tired of this fear and this frustration and this all of this that leads up. We have an opportunity. This podcast that I was listening to, you know, he talks about in this area where he is, where his church is, or where he's involved with the church. You know, he talked about, you know, there was a group of individuals that went out of the country and went to go interact with and minister in other places of the world. And that's awesome. I don't want to take away from that. But I would challenge each of us. If we have the light of Christ, if we are brothers and sisters that are caring about our brothers and sisters, that light of the Christ starts right here with us. It starts with us in that interaction that we have with our brothers and sisters. You know, it's not going back to that line and making sure that I'm the first one in line. And understand that I'm not preaching to you. I'm not trying to challenge you. I'm trying to challenge myself. Because what I find is so many times in my life, you know, I believe, I have a belief in Christ. You know, much like within this ninth chapter in the 57th verse, you know, I will follow thee whithersoever thou go. I will follow thee. But then I get in my car and I go home and I struggle. One of my aunts sent me a text a couple, several weeks ago. And she'd made a comment that she was praying for me. And she said, now is the time that Satan is going to try to rear up. And you know, there were a couple times that there were things going on and I was at work or things were frustrating. And I thought, oh man, yeah, she's right. And she is right. You know, in our lives, so many times when, and again, this is about me, so many times when we are feeling that connection or that we are feeling ourselves struggling, you know, Satan is the divider. Satan is the one that is going to try and divide us. Turn with me in Moroni, the 7th chapter. And again, I'm going to go through several verses, but I'm just about done. Start at the 37th verse. And now, my beloved brethren, if this be the case, that these things are true which I have spoken unto you, and God will show unto you with power and great glory at the last day, that they are true, and if they are true, hath the day of miracles ceased? Or hath angels ceased to appear unto the children of men? Or hath he withheld the power of the Holy Ghost from them? You know, I'm an individual that I remember back, and I reflect back on the testimonies that I heard as a kid. I draw on those testimonies. Those are strengths to me. You know, I'm amazed, and I have been amazed at the testimonies that I hear. You know, and that is encouragement to me, and it's clear recognition. It is clear recognition that our Lord, that our Heavenly Father is working with us. Continuing on in the 40th verse, or will he so long as time shall last, or the earth shall stand, or there shall be one man upon the face thereof to be saved? Behold, I say unto you, nay, for it is by faith that miracles are wrought, and it is by faith that angels appear to minister unto men. Wherefore, if these things have ceased, woe be unto the children of men, for it is because of their unbelief. And all is vain, for no man can be saved according to the words of Christ, save they shall have faith in his name. You know, I was reading this scripture not too long ago, and early in the morning, I get up, and I was reading through it, and I start to... I just kind of journal a little bit of some of my thoughts and as I go through different scripture reading. And this one really intrigued me. And this one really kind of, it spoke to me where I had read it many times. But as I read through this scripture, you know, I thought about, and I want you to think about, and I've tried to highlight, it's not perfect, but I've tried to highlight some of the things, you know. It starts with faith. It starts with faith. And that beginning, you know, is that faith in Christ. Ye have faith in Christ because of your meekness. You know, we have to have faith in Christ because of our weakness, because of our imperfections, because of those things that we struggle with. And again, my beloved brethren, I would speak unto you concerning hope. How is it that ye can attain unto faith, save ye shall have hope? And what is it that ye shall hope for? Behold, I say unto you that ye shall have hope through the atonement of Christ and the power of his resurrection to be raised unto life eternal. And this because of your faith in him according to the promise. Wherefore, if a man have faith, he must needs have hope. For without faith, there can not be any hope. And again, behold, I say unto you that he cannot have faith and hope, save he shall be meek and lowly of heart. If so, his faith and hope are vain. For none is acceptable before God, save the meek and lowly of heart. And if a man be meek and lowly of heart and confess by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. For if he have not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore, he must needs have charity. And charity suffereth long and is kind, envieth not, and is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, you are nothing, for charity never faileth. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all. For all things must fall, but charity is a pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever. And whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. And then it wraps up in the 53rd verse. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that ye may be filled with this love which he hath bestowed upon all who are true followers of the Son of his Son, Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure. Amen. You know, I put those words, I choose life through Christ, and I just kind of think about this verse as it spoke to me. My brothers and sisters, I would tell you that if I have done anything to offend you, I'm sorry. I appreciate the example that our brother gave this morning. That's a tough responsibility to stand up in front of our brothers and sisters and to make those words. If I have done something to offend you, I apologize. I would encourage you and I would challenge each of you, if I've done that, come talk to me. You won't offend me. You can tell me my baby is ugly and you will not offend me, I promise. But also understand that you know, I'm not going to argue with you or challenge you. I'm not going to cut you with a knife. I truly believe that verse, you know, what does it mean? Iron sharpens iron. It's a different meaning. And maybe you've never had the thought that I had where it meant negative. But, you know, I need you. I need my brothers and sisters. I need each one of you. I need each one of you to talk to me, to challenge me, to love me. I love each and every one of you. And our ministry and our outreach is with those that we shine that light around us. I'm appreciative of a few of our brothers that have reached out to me in some of the times that I've probably struggled with the most in my spiritual life. And I'm thankful for it. And that example that it's given me is that opportunity to serve him, is to recognize where is our faith, where is our hope, and where is our charity. I love each and every one of you. Thank you.